The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Tuesday to you. Welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. Today we're going to discuss a couple of interesting questions that came in from listeners just like you. By the way, you can send us your questions through email, radio@faithalone.org. Today's questions we're going to cover: how much should we try to save society? And what role should Christians have in politics? What a great lead-off for a wonderful discussion. In fact, let's get right to that discussion right now with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Okay, pressing questions. Here's one from Justin. Should we be actively trying to preserve worldly institutions, or should we be allowing them to just fall away? Public schools. Should we be trying to save public schools from going totally atheist, or should we just let it fall away? Or a lot of people talk about woke capitalism, where all these big businesses, big institutions, banks and corporations going after a worldview and an agenda that is, you know, very contrary to the Christian faith. And so do we just let it go, or are we, should we be activists and try to save these institutions, or what?
Well, first of all, in terms of the public schools, I went through the public school system in California, which back when I went through it was reasonably conservative. By the time I got to public university, a University of California school, that was pretty liberal.
Yeah.
But today, it's not just California that has very liberal teachers in elementary school, middle school, high school, but that's pretty much all the way through the country. I heard just on the news the other day that public school attendance and registrations are way down. Evidently, people all over the country are pulling their kids out of the public schools.
Right.
And lots of people who haven't exactly pulled them out aren't having their children attend regularly. Absenteeism is very high, even among the ones who are regular students. Mm. So I think the move to be more woke is backfiring, and it's causing less and less people to go to public schools. And I would suggest if Christian parents find that their charter schools or their conservative schools move into teaching things that they shouldn't be teaching, then they too pull their kids, right?
Well, so that would be a don't fight, retreat. Is that how you would answer Justin? So you're not trying to preserve the public schools, you retreat and you do something else.
Well, I have no problem with doing both. I have no problem with parents going to the school board meetings and saying we can't have these books in there, we can't be teaching these gender ideas at any level, let alone kindergarten through second grade, which is now very prevalent across the country. In fact, I guess it was Florida that passed a bill saying that couldn't be taught in K through 3, I think, and that's caused a big uproar.
Right.
So, yeah, I would say it's fine to go to school board meetings and do your best, but if it doesn't work out, then just pull your kids.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with government. Should we be activists trying to have Christian laws passed by the government or laws that are more in line with the Christian worldview? Is this something that Christians should be doing because someone's worldview is going to be dictating which laws are being passed? So what do we do? Do we just give up or do we fight? And does that mean we're taking on worldly powers and using worldly weapons in a spiritual warfare or what?
You know, you're describing what happened at Focus on the Family. Even though I didn't agree with Dr. Dobson on his view on how a person is born again, he comes from a Nazarene work salvation, lose your salvation perspective. Still, I was wonderfully pleased with what he would say about the family and the defense of the family. And I can't remember how many years ago it was. He had been having a for-profit version where they would do politics and a not-for-profit where they did everything else. And eventually he wanted to do more and more of the pushing for conservative values.
Sure.
And eventually his board decided it was best he go off on his own, just pursue that, and Focus on the Family would pursue the nonprofit part. But when I was in seminary, I was impressed by the fact that we were taught that if you go into the ministry, you teach the Word of God. You don't talk about politics.
Yeah,
you don't tell people who to vote for.
How is that possible if you're teaching the Word of God? Because if you're teaching the Word of God, it's going to address lots of things.
Right. So if you're teaching the Bible and the Bible talks about the death penalty, it's certainly fine to say we see here that the death penalty is taught in Scripture, and this actually has been incorporated in American law and the law of most countries around the world.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go beyond that and start preaching about, well, you know, people who are against the death penalty are against the Bible or anything like that. I would just say this is what the Bible teaches. If the Bible touches on an issue, you teach that, but not from a political standpoint. I wouldn't say, okay, we've got a Senate race coming up, and you need to vote for so-and-so. That would be inappropriate.
Why?
Well, I think it's inappropriate.
It might be unwise, but why? Right. Why is it inappropriate?
The main reason it's inappropriate is because you're going to have people in your congregation who come from both of the major political parties, and by taking a stand, you're going to alienate a lot of people. On top of that, the Bible doesn't come out and mention political parties. It mentions doctrine. So once you stand on that and you say, I stand for this political party, well, then it's a real small step to start endorsing people and start saying, even in primaries, let me tell you which one of these people to vote for in this party.
Right.
Now you become a political activist.
Yeah.
And it just seems to me we weaken our position as those who proclaim the word of God if we start going beyond Scripture and now giving our opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. But let me push back. If the church isn't educating people on who to vote for, then the world is going to. And so you shouldn't be surprised then if half the people in your church are voting for political parties that are totally contrary to the word of God, because you've taught them the Bible has nothing to say to you about this topic. God has no will about this. There's no application. You're totally free to vote for whoever you want. It's, you know.
Okay, let me give you a personal illustration.
Yeah.
I came to faith in September of 1972. A presidential election was around the corner. That November, we had an election between Richard Nixon and George McGovern.
Yeah.
George McGovern wasn't a moderate Democrat. Mm-hmm. George McGovern was far, far left.
Okay.
I voted in my first presidential election that November, and I voted for George McGovern.
Right.
Because that was my political leanings at that point.
Yeah.
I became a member of a small American Baptist church when I came to faith. And as far as I can remember, Rich never preached about political parties. He never told who to vote for, anything like that. But within about 9 months of sitting under his teaching, I became a conservative politically. In 1976, I voted for the conservative.
Right.
Nobody had to tell me, you need to vote for this party or this person. So if you're religiously conservative, you're going to be politically conservative. The first time that Donald Trump ran, I didn't vote for him because I just felt that morally he didn't match up. Now, the second time around, I was persuaded by what happened in his 4 years in office, and I voted for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I understand that there are people who are conservative believers who would never vote for Trump. That's fine. And if a conservative believer votes for someone who's politically liberal, well, that's between them and the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell them who to vote for. I don't even talk about, you know, who I'm going to vote for in the upcoming election or get into those things, because to me, I think that's inappropriate.
Yeah.
So maybe I shouldn't even have told you about my past.
Well, I do. I mean, again, I'm torn on this issue. I think the Bible has something to say about all of life, and politics is part of our life, and it just involves so many different moral issues and economic issues and legal issues that all have a bearing on the Christian worldview. But at the same time, I recognize that Jesus didn't go around. I mean, Jesus didn't seem to care at all about politics. And he doesn't seem to have taught his followers to care anything about politics. No one was trying to run for office in Rome. He didn't criticize the emperor. He had nothing to say. It's as if it didn't even exist. One of the greatest human leaders of all time, Caesar Augustus, who helped transform the Roman Republic to a Roman Empire, just gets a passing mention in Luke chapter 2 as concerning this decree that goes out that eventually leads to Jesus being born in Bethlehem. So I'm very torn about, you know, I feel like I have a robust Christian worldview that definitely would influence how I would vote for politics or what kind of school I would want to have or all kinds of different things. But at the same time, I just don't see that emphasized in the New Testament. Paul doesn't go around saying, hey, make sure, watch out who you vote for.
You're right.
You know what I mean? He doesn't. It's just not a concern for them, it seems like.
That's a good point.
I also think about this, Bob. I think about this. I take this from Luther. Luther talked about how we have to love people in our vocations. And a vocation is you're being a parent or a father or an uncle or a boss or an employee or
a
citizen,
a
teammate.
Team.
But yeah. He said a citizen, being a citizen of a country, is one of your vocations. And you have to love your neighbors in that vocation as your fellow citizens. So when I'm going about trying to love my fellow citizens, I have an opportunity, especially in this country where it's partially democracy, it's a republic, but we get to vote for things. I kind of feel like it's my loving duty to vote for things that I think are going to help my neighbor as opposed to and voting against things I think that are going to harm them.
No, that's absolutely right. And it seems to me that even though the New Testament doesn't talk about voting because they didn't get to vote for their Caesars.
Right.
But even though it doesn't talk about voting, the principle, it seems to me, from Scripture would be, yes, we should do our share by voting.
Yeah.
That we would do everything we can to ensure that we get the best government possible.
I mean, doesn't Paul talk about being good citizens? I mean, we're supposed to be, you know,
right,
in subjection to the authorities.
Pray for the governing authorities, yeah.
And we want to live quiet lives. But am I concerned? Should I be concerned about empires rising and falling? Should I be concerned about whether or not, you know, America is going to exist in 100 years? Or is it going to split up or be taken over by something? Should I be worried about that kind of thing? I don't know.
Yeah, I would say no, because the best we can do is, as you say, we do our voting. Of course, believers can donate to candidates or causes that they believe are important, right? So, obviously, people on every side of the political spectrum are using their money. They're volunteering, right? They're helping people make phone calls or
right,
knock on doors or whatever. You can do all that. But for me, I'm content with voting, mm-hmm, and with just carrying on private conversations with people. But I would not be publicly,
yeah,
promoting politics.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about why the saving message is so hidden in our world today. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.